Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another broadcast of Contending for the Faith with yours truly, Moses Henry Jones. Well, my brothers and sisters, we are in studio yet again to take care of business. Now, the question is, will Jensen Franklin take care of business? Will he call the broadcast? The number here for Mr. Jensen Franklin is area code 516-418-5978. Again, 516-418-5978. And we're trying to reach Jensen Franklin because we have some questions to ask him. And, of course, he's been dodging me now for a couple of years, ducking and dodging, ducking and hiding, ducking and running. That's Mr. Jensen Franklin. Sometimes he sticks his head in the sand and he puts his fanny up in the air like the ostrich. Sometimes he's just running so fast with his tail tucked, and all you can see at a distance is the neon yellow stripe that just it just runs down from the top of his head to the bottom of his fanny. I mean, he's just got a yellow streak in his back. And we've been trying to get him to man up, you know, to do like Cary Grant. What's that guy's name, that great Western movie, High Noon? Gary Cooper. Gary Cooper was in High Noon. I'm trying to get Jensen Franklin to just watch the movie, High Noon. It's a black and white. It's an old movie, but boy, in those days, men were men. And I'm just, listen, I just, you know, just calling them out. Calling them out. He's my age. We grew up on, listen, any red-blooded American boy who grew up on apple pie and Chevrolet and baseball, and I'm sure that's what Jensen Franklin is. I mean, he's a red-blooded American boy. If he grew up on apple pie, Chevrolet, and baseball, he also grew up on Westerns. Gunsmoke, right? Bonanza. Watching shows like Have Gun, Will Travel. The Rifleman. The Long Ranger. I mean, that's when men were men. And I'm just trying to get Jensen Franklin to just meet me on Main Street. Him on one end and me on the other, and let's just duke it out theologically. But I guess Jensen Franklin doesn't have what it takes to defend his sermon. So we're going to continue without him, even though we do, listen, every day I come on the air and every day I extend the olive leaf to Jensen. I extend him, in one hand, I extend him the olive leaf. On the other hand, I extend him a pair of boxing gloves to see if he gets into the ring and, you know, he does a couple of rounds. But, no, Jensen Franklin is running. He must be running alongside of Forrest Gump. Remember in the movie Forrest Gump, how Gump was just running and running, aimlessly running, but he was running. He must be running with Gump and that whole crowd. That's what Jensen Franklin must be. So let's turn to our outline. Now, you got to go to page 41. Go to page 41 in your outline, and let's go there. Now, again, these outlines are yours just for the asking. All you have to do is email me, Moses Henry Jones, at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com. It's the same email address that you would use if you want to receive from me the trilogy that I wrote on Jensen Franklin's dopey book, The Spirit of Python. I wrote Spirit of Python Dunce, Spirit of Python Ignoramus, and Spirit of Python Retard. And I show how in each volume, Jensen Franklin went from dumb to super dumb to super duper 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 dumb. And you can have those three books, which is over 450 pages, over 700 footnotes. My goodness gracious, 30 chapters. It's a great series. And listen, that series would open your eyes for those of you who are members of the Free Chapel churches. He's got 7 campus churches, this guy. This ignoramus, this moron, this idiot supreme has 7 campus churches filled with people who say amen, praise the Lord, give them high fives, give them standing ovations to every stupid and idiotic and moronic thing this nitwit, this halfwit, this dimwit says. Everything. So you want to go to page number 41. And the heading on top is orange. You want to look for an orange heading. The broadcast number is 229. This is part number 13. This is the 13th broadcast in this series. And as you know, today's broadcast date is January the 9th, 2020. January 9th, 2020. And what I've been doing thus far is I've been dismantling Jensen Franklin's second faulty interpretation pillar. I told you that his sermon, Jezebel's Children, this is the sermon that we've been breaking down. This is the sermon that we've been analyzing. This is the sermon that we've been listening to audio and just taking it apart. I told you when I heard the sermon, when I heard the entire sermon, I concluded that his sermon is based on 5 faulty interpretation pillars. If you knock down these 5 pillars, if you discredit these 9 pillars, if you prove that these 5 pillars are wrong and you take them apart, then he's got no sermon. He's got no son. So this is I'm dealing with interpretation pillar number two, and today wraps it up. The next time you hear me on the air, I will begin breaking down interpretation pillar number three. But we're on today's the final broadcast, and I've done seven of these on interpretation pillar number two. This is my seventh broadcast on this second pillar, and it took a while. But as you notice, systematically, I've been giving you all of the pertinent information that allows you to understand why Jensen Franklin is crazy wrong. Not just wrong, but crazy wrong. Crazy wrong. This guy, listen, he should not be in a pulpit. He should be banned from preaching. This guy just spouts crazy notions, bizarre notions, queer notions. Listen, these notions are so exotic. They come straight out of the Twilight Zone, straight out of the TV program, The Outer Limits. This guy is just weird. The things that he says, weird stuff. So we're looking at this faulty interpretation pillar number two. And basically, listen, interpretation pillar number one was very easy. Very easy. Jensen Franklin tells us that the woman Jesus calls Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2, when Jesus is addressing the church of Thyatira, Jensen Franklin says Jesus calls her a woman, but here's a secret, saints. She's not really a woman. She's really a spirit. That was faulty interpretation pillar number one, and we destroyed that. We proved that, no, Jensen, you're not right. Jesus says she was a woman. John recorded on the Isle of Patmos the words that Jesus gave, and John wrote down that she was a woman. And you're the only nut in 2,000 years of church history that claims that she's a spirit. Okay, so we destroyed that pillar. Now, I want to go to the audio because I want to play the pertinent part of the, and listen, I know this is hard for you to listen to. I've been playing it over and over again, but I need to do that because I don't want to be accused of putting words in Jensen Franklin's mouth. I want you to hear the words that come out of this jackass's mouth, because that's what he is. So I want you to hear him say, that the woman being referred to by Jesus calls her a woman. We cannot forget that Jesus is the one speaking here to the church of Thyatira. And Jesus says that she's a woman. John, the apostle, who was banned and was sent to the Isle of Patmos, he is there and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes down that she's a woman. But Jensen Franklin has come up with a different interpretation. He tells her, no, she's not really a woman. She's really a spirit. We destroyed that first pillar. All right, let's listen to Jensen.
I want you to look with me today in Revelation chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. I don't have time to read that. Verse 18. And the angel of the church in Thyatira write these things. Says, who's saying this? The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, and faith. Your patience as for your works. The last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. I want all the women to relax because this is not that kind of a sermon. But because you allow that woman Jezebel, which is a reference to a spirit, really.
No, it is not. It is not a reference to a spirit. It is a reference to a woman. And we dismantled that in when we did the shows on pillar number one. Now, as we move forward to pillar number two, and as we give this pillar the final whack with the sledgehammer of truth, you will notice that Jensen Franklin claims that when Jezebel the woman died, Old Testament Jezebel, Ahab's Jezebel, Elijah's Jezebel, that Jezebel, which was really a woman, who was thrown out the window by a group of eunuchs, who was trampled under the hooves of horses, ridden by Jehu, who was eaten by dogs. Jensen Franklin claims that that woman, when she died, transitioned into the next life and became a demon, became a wicked spirit, became an evil spirit, a fallen angel. That's what he claims. And I'm here to tell you that that is impossible, that that never happened, that you don't go from human existence into angelic existence. This is Jewish fables. This is stuff that we are, this kind of teaching that he's promoting, we are told by Paul and by Peter to stay away from. We are not to give heed to Jewish fables. So here is Jensen Franklin. He's going to tell you about Jezebel and tell you about a few things about the churches. But I want you to listen how he's going to tell you Jezebel died, but now she's a spirit. And now he never tells us. He never tells us how a human being goes from having a human soul and spirit, and then how that morphs and how that becomes a demonic spirit in the out. Doesn't tell us how that happens. Doesn't provide any scriptures. Doesn't provide any theology. Doesn't give us any background. But he just wants you to take it for granted. He just wants you to accept everything that he says because he's a crazy person. That's what he is. So let's listen to him as he tells us that Jezebel of the Old Testament then became a malevolent spirit, a wicked spirit, a fallen angel, a demoness, if you will. Let's listen.
Who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Listen to this. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And then I want you to really focus in on this. Verse 23. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches, notice this now, the minds and hearts. Everybody say minds and hearts. And I will give to each of you according to your works. Verse 26, he who overcomes what? The spirit that he just described. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He'll rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like potter's clay, like potter's vessels. What's beautiful about this is he said, in the end, I'm going to give authority to people who have been broken vessels. I'm going to give broken vessels power and authority to rule in mighty ways. I want to talk to you about something very different today that God laid on my heart that I believe is a word very much in season for our lives. I'm preaching today on Jezebel's children. We've all probably heard people refer to Jezebel, but I want to talk about that 23rd verse where he makes reference to Jezebel's children. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to us today. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation describe seven churches, and it is a picture, and it gives the characteristics of what the end time church is going to be like. Seven stages of Christianity, seven prophetic churches. In most of those churches, there's things that Jesus himself complements, and there's things that he confronts and combats. And there are certain characteristics of those churches. For example, the Laodicea church had the characteristic of being lukewarm. They were lukewarm. They were not hot. They were not cold. They were just lukewarm. And then the church of Philadelphia is one of the seven that he names, and it was a loving church. And Jesus complimented them and spoke to John and said, there will be the love of God is needed in every church like Philadelphia, the church of Philadelphia has. But it was according to the seven personalities and characteristics working through the seven churches. Lean in. I promise this is going to hit you right where you're living. He said, now, in the church of Thyatira, there is something that you have done right, but then he shifts the focus and he says, but I have something against you because you're allowing Jezebel to seduce and bring sexual immorality into the church and into people's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked. And
notice that he said she was a woman who married Ahab and was exceedingly wicked. She was a woman. She was a female counterpart to male. Notice he said that. He admits this is a woman who married Ahab, who was wicked. Okay? All right.
Immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said. He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children.
Please notice how he went from woman. He said this was a woman who married Ahab, who was extremely wicked and immoral. And he says, now that she's dead, in every generation, the spirit of Jezebel. Now notice, it's a sleight of hand. He starts out with a woman named Jezebel, and then he says, when she died, subsequently in every generation, this woman is having children. In other words, as a spirit, she's having spirit children. As a fallen, wicked spirit, she is having little demonic spirits. That's what he's saying. Now notice, he doesn't give anybody any Bible verses. He doesn't say how this happened. He's just talking. He's introducing these concepts, and his people are just sitting there quietly, and they're accepting everything that he says. Let's listen again.
People's lives. Jezebel was a reference that goes all the way back to 1 Kings 18 and 19. She was a woman who married Ahab, and she was exceedingly wicked and immoral. And even though she had been dead for over 1,500 years, maybe up to 1,800 years, she had been dead, her spirit was very much alive in a new generation. And notice what he said.
So her body was dead, but her spirit was alive in a new generation. Her body was dead, but her spirit was alive in a new generation.
He said she had children. Every generation, the spirit of Jezebel will produce children. And these spirits, if you entertain them, if you shelter them, if you feed them, they will grow up. And that's why he said in the 23rd verse, her children have to die. You cannot, notice what he tied them to. You cannot allow them to dominate your mind. Did you catch it? They're after the reins of your mind and your heart to turn you away from God. And they come as small things, and if you feed them, shelter them, feed lust, shelter the characteristics that I'm about to give you concerning Jezebel, they will take over your mind, take over your heart, and destroy your life in every way. Jezebel has children. He's warning us. Jesus himself is warning the end time church that the predominant spirit that will come to the end time church will be Jezebel, and she will have children alive even though she's been dead for 18 years. She will have spiritual children, demonic spirits alive that will attack families, marriages, homes, men, women, and it's going to manifest in their minds and attack their minds and their hearts.
No, Jesus warned of no such thing. Jesus warned of no such thing because there's no such spirit as Jezebel, and there are no little baby demons anywhere. No, Jesus didn't warn. He didn't warn the church. In fact, he rebuked the church. He rebuked the church because they didn't sit down the woman in the church who goes by Jezebel, who claims to be a prophetess. Jesus is upset with the pastor and upset with the members because they didn't get rid of this woman. He's not warning them. He's chiding them. There's a difference. He's not warning them. He's rebuking them. That's what Jesus is doing. And he's not rebuking them because, or he's not warning them because there's some malevolent female demoness named Jezebel who hovers over the church and she's having little demon babies and we're entertaining. How are we entertaining? What? We're sitting them in front of the TV and putting on, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost and putting on Scooby-Doo. That's how we're entertaining them. And what are we feeding them? Popcorn and cotton candy? Twizzlers? Are we giving? Well, how are we feeding these little demons, and how we're entertaining them? We didn't even know that they existed until this crazy nut informed us that they existed. Nobody knew. Nobody knew that Jezebel was having little baby demons until this nut stated this in this sermon. Let's listen to more.
A spirit that had certain characteristics of this woman in the Old Testament who was married to King Ahab. Jezebel was known for sexual immorality, lust, but not just lust physically, but lust for power. And she will reproduce children, Jesus warned. Now, let me give you some characteristics of Jezebel in the Old Testament that are very much alive in our society.
All right, so we'll stop it there. Okay, so this is pillar number two. Pillar number two, I've already dismantled pillar one, which he claimed that, you know, Jesus says she's a woman. John recorded that she's a woman. But saints, let me let you in on a little secret. She's really a spirit. Well, that's not what Jesus said, and that's not what John wrote down. So we did away with pillar number one. Pillar number two is Jensen Franklin claims that at death, Old Testament Jezebels, human spirit, transitioned into a demonic existence. In other words, we know, my dear brothers and sisters, that when you die, a separation takes place. That's what death is. Death is, physical death is the separation of the soul, body, and spirit, right? Spiritual death is our separation from God. Eternal death, or the second death, is eternal separation from God forever. So notice, death always emphasizes separation, whether it be physical death or spiritual death or eternal death, whichever death you're referring to, it speaks of a separation. When your spouse dies, and you know, you're separated from your spouse until you meet up with that person in eternity. You're separate because that's what death does. It separates us from our loved ones. That's what death does. But when a person physically dies, there's a separation that takes place within that person. There's a the soul and the spirit detaches itself from the body. That's death. So Jensen Franklin wants us to believe that at death, Jezebel's soul and spirit, which is her immaterial or invisible part, that transitioned into the next life. And when it went into the next life, it became a fallen angel or a demon or a malevolent spirit or a wicked spirit. And notice he says, she's even capable of having children. She's having little baby demons. That's what he said. I didn't say it. This crazy nut said it, and that's why we played the audio. So now, let's go back to our outline. We're on page 41. We're on page, and listen, I got to do this every day, and I know I may sound a little redundant, but trust me. If I keep ingraining this in you, you're going to get it. It's gonna sink in. And some of you listening to me have gone to church for years and you've never heard this stuff. You've never sat under a pastor who taught you. You never sat under a pastor who gave you basic theology. You got mumbo jumbo from the pulpit each and every day. You got baloney every time you went to the church. You got nonsense. Just like the people here at the Free Chapel Church are getting today from Jensen Franklin. As he's preaching to them, he's giving them pure baloney, pure nonsense, just a bunch of crazy talk. That's what he's giving them. And that's what most people get today. And this is why in this teaching series, I'm just taking my time to just break this down and to systematically show you how this guy cannot be trusted and how you should never listen to him again, for he is a false teacher extraordinaire. All right, so let's look at the elemental theology tree. And this elemental theology tree has 10 main branches: Christology, the doctrine of Christ; pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit; eschatology, the doctrine of last things; soteriology, the doctrine of salvation; ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church; bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible or scripture; harmar theology, the doctrine of sin; anthropology, the doctrine of man; angelology, the doctrine of angels; and theology proper, the doctrine of God. And all of these theologies come right out of the Bible. The Bible is the foundation for the theology tree. And this is why every time you look at a Bible verse, every time you look at a verse of scripture, you have to look at the verse of scripture with this theology tree in mind. What theology is this one Bible verse, or this cluster of Bible verses, what are they conveying when I read them? What is the Word of God trying to teach me concerning theology? Because the whole Bible is theology. And I know that the Word of Faith people and the charismatics and those who, you know, belong to the NAR and these extreme groups, these crazy castles, and even Jensen Franklin's new group, the Retard Castles, I know that they mock theology. But that's how they get over on you. That's how they hoodwink you. That's how they lead you astray, because they mock theology. They say it's not important, that only religious people are interested in theology. No, 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 no. Church folk who love the Lord and who love truth, who are Berean-like, love theology, okay? So we're looking at the theology tree here, and there are three theologies, three branches that we want to consider as they refer to Jezebel. First of all, is anthropology. I need to remind you that Jezebel was a member of the human race, anthropos. It's the doctrine of man, anthropology, the doctrine of man as based on scripture. It's not secular anthropology. We're not teaching evolution. We're not teaching Darwinism. That's what you get when you study secular anthropology. But when you study biblical anthropology, there's a special creation. God created man and woman on the sixth day. Creation, anthropology based on scripture. So when we look at biblical anthropology, we must conclude that the woman who first appears in 1 Kings 16 and who continues to reappear all throughout until 2 Kings chapter 9, that this woman called Jezebel, who was married to Ahab, who was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and who was the mother of Athaliah, Jehoram, and Ahaziah, that the mother of three, that this woman was really a woman, that she was really a human being. And as a human being, she had three parts to her: soul, body, and spirit. So anthropology, A, we're on page 41, we're on the bottom, we're underneath the theology tree. We're looking at anthropology. Jezebel, a tripart human being who died and experienced the separation of her soul, her body, soul, and spirit. And that's found in 2 Kings chapter 9. When we know that she was thrown out the window. In fact, let me read this to you. 2 Kings chapter 9, starting at verse 30. And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she painted her face. She put on some Maybelline, if you will. She put on some Max Factor. She put on some mascara. She put on some Rouge. She painted her face and she fixed her hair. And she looked out the window after doing so. In verse 31, it says, as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said to him, Jezebel said to him, had Zimri peace who slew his master? And Jehu lifted up his face to the window and said, who is on my side? Who? And immediately there looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And Jehu said to them, to the eunuchs, throw her down. So the eunuchs threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and the horses trod her underfoot. That's what they did. As she was coming down, as gravity was fulfilling its function, her body smacked against the wall a few times, and there was blood everywhere. There was blood sprinkled on the horses, and then the horses ran her over and with their hooves and the chariot wheel and just turned her body into ground beef. Then it goes on to say in verse number 34, and when Jehu was come in, he sat down to eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and go bury her, for she is a king's daughter. Go give her royal burial. She deserves that, for she is the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians. She's a king's daughter. Go bury this cursed woman. Verse 35, and as they went forth to bury her, but they found her no more. Just her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hand. Wherefore they came again and told them and said, this is the word of the Lord which was spoken by the prophet Elijah the Tishbite, saying, in the portion of Jezreel shall dogs eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel. And that's what they say of Jezebel today. So notice, she died, they threw her out the window, she was flesh and blood, there was blood everywhere. We know she's flesh and blood because her blood is sprinkled everywhere. We know that she's flesh because the dogs ate her up. And then later on, they pooped her out. So when human Jezebel died, her body was disposed of by the dogs, but her soul and spirit, as we've studied in previous programs, the soul and spirit of every person who dies goes to God who gave it. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, once they stand before God in that preliminary judgment, it's not the white throne judgment, it's simply the preliminary judgment, a basic judgment. God says you go to heaven or you go to hell. Well, we know wicked Jezebel, we know where she went. She went to the hot place. She went to Hades. She went to the place of torment and suffering. So therefore, that's eschatology. That's letter B. At death, Jezebel's human soul and spirit went to Hades, And what is Hades? The intermediate abode of the wicked. And you have outlines for all this. You have outlines, you have all the Bible verses, you have all the citations, you have all the footnotes. You can check me out so that you can see that I am not crazy. Jensen Franklin's crazy. I'm not. Everything I've stated thus far, all of my outlines are all completely Bible-based. We're operating from a theology tree, not a crazy tree, but a theology tree, okay? So when Jezebel died and she moved on into the next phase of her existence, her body was put in the ground, her skull, the palms of her hand, and her feet were buried in the ground, and, of course, the dogs pooped the rest of her on the face of the earth, so she became one with the earth. But her soul and spirit were taken by God and deposited in that jail for the wicked known as Hades. It's the intermediate abode of the wicked. All right? Now, let's go down to letter C, which is angelology. At no time did Jezebel's human soul and spirit become a fallen angel, a demoness, and a wicked spirit. You can't show me any Bible that shows that a human who comes out of the anthropology branch can resurface in the next life in the angelology branch. There's no such thing. That's just crazy talk. That's just crazy talk. And that's why we do these programs. And this is why we do these systematic studies, to convince you, to give you time from one broadcast to another to continue to do your research. Check and see. Vet me. Find out if what I'm telling you is the truth. This is why we give you some time. This is why there's a couple of days delay in doing the next broadcast, because I'm just letting you catch up. I'm just allowing you enough time to do your research to say, hey, you know, Brother Jones, you're trying to hoodwink us here. You're trying to deceive us. You're talking bad about our pastor. No, I want you to see that your pastor, if he happens to be Jensen Franklin, I want you to see that he's a crazy person who has no business preaching, who has no business standing behind the sacred desk, who has no business of sharing the gospel, has no business. He's a false teacher. He's such a false teacher that when Jesus says, you know, she's a woman, he says, no, listen to me. She's not a woman. She's really a spirit. Well, why didn't Jesus tell us she was a spirit? Because she's not. She's a woman. And Jensen Franklin is contradicting Christ, and he's contradicting John, who under the inspiration or the leading of the Holy Spirit wrote down the words of Jesus exactly as he heard them. Okay, let's go to point number two. Jensen Franklin's demonic version of Jezebel. Point number two, Jensen Franklin's demonic version of Jezebel. Where did Jensen Franklin get the bizarre idea that at the moment of physical death, human Jezebel transitioned into a demonic? Where did he get this idea? And I argue, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, that Jensen Franklin didn't get this from a book. Why do I know he didn't get this from a book? Because Mr. Jensen Franklin doesn't study. I proved that in my Spirit of Python trilogy. I showed you that the reason why he's a dunce and an ignoramus and a retard is because Jensen Franklin never cracked open a book. Not a Bible dictionary, not a Bible encyclopedia, not a book on systematic theology, not a book on theology of any kind. He never opened up a commentary, never opened up a concordance, never opened up a lexicon. Listen, this guy just shoots from the hip. That's what he does. So, because Jensen Franklin is a non-reader, I attribute his stupid notions about Jezebel's afterlife and her angelic existence on crazy costal parroting. What do you mean by that, Brother John, what do you mean, crazy coastal pastor? Well, listen, there are so many crazy preachers on YouTube, and there's no shortage of people preaching on the spirit of Jezebel. No shortage. No shortage. There are thousands, and that's not an exaggeration. There are thousands of people who are just parroting the spirit of Jezebel baloney. Thousands. You hear that they stand up in church and they grab the mic. The spirit of Jezebel is here tonight. The spirit of Jezebel wants to control the service, but we're going to bind her in the name of Jesus. You hear that foolishness in church. Then you hear that foolishness on you. Listen, this is just crazy coastal talk. And all Jensen Franklin is doing is he's heard some people talk about the spirit of Jezebel, and that's what he's doing that Sunday morning back in July of 2019. He is simply parroting what he's heard before from other crazy preachers. That's what he's doing. Now, this makes Jensen Franklin a babbler in the biblical sense. What is a babbler? Well, it comes from the Greek word spermologos, from sperma, a seed, and lego, to collect, to gather. A babbler is a trifler, a character who picks up and repeats trifling things. That's Jensen Franklin. Jensen Franklin has picked up rubbish. He's picked up baloney teaching, and that's what he's peddling. He's peddling baloney. He's selling baloney. That's what he's doing. It is said that the Athenians applied this name to those who made their living by collecting and selling refuse they found in the marketplaces. Therefore, they were those who were babblers. Therefore, the babblers were men of no account, low and contemptible. Listen, Jensen Franklin has a low IQ. Low IQ. Why? Because he never cracks open a book. Why? Because he's listening to other crazy preachers and he's peddling what he picked up from them. That makes him a babbler. There's nothing original with Jensen Franklin. Listen, this guy can't come up with an original idea if his life depended upon it. I am convinced he is, in addition to being a dunce and an ignoramus and a retard and a super-duper retard, now we can also add that he is an empty-headed babbler. Nothing in his repertoire, nothing in his bag of tricks, nothing, absolutely nothing, is original. He's a man of a low IQ. And for that, we should hold him in contempt. We should not listen to him. We should avoid him at all cost. Now, for the past two programs, I've been giving you banned Jewish fables. I've been talking to you basically about Jewish fables. And here we have a scripture from the Apostle Paul who tells us, as he writes to Timothy, do not give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men. Why? Why should not we give heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men? Why? Because they turn you away from the truth. What is a fable? Again, here's another definition of the word fable. The word fable appears in the New Testament as a translation of the Greek word mythos. That's where we get the word mythology. 1 Timothy 1:4. The word is used in a negative sense. Whenever you look at the word fable in the New Testament, it is always used in a negative sense, as something to be avoided. Most modern translations translate mythos as myth. What is a myth? What is a mythos? What is a fable? It is an untruth designed to deceive and what? Mislead. Listen, when you're listening to Jensen Franklin, unbeknown to him because he's just a babbler, unbeknown to this fool who just picks up one little idea from this person and another idea from that other person, unbeknown to him, because he's just too stupid to realize it, unbeknown to him, when he uses all of these fables and puts them all together and begins to spout them, unbeknown to him, he is deceiving and misleading people, because that's what fables are designed to do, to deceive and mislead. Now, here's another definition for the word fable, and this one reads as follows. Fables means falsehood in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, and in 1 Timothy 4, 7. They're called old wise fables. Titus 1:14 calls them Jewish fables. And a Jewish fable is that which brings us into a transition stage to Gnosticism. Now, that's very important. So what do Jewish fables do? Jewish fables take a Christian and transport him from the truth to Gnosticism. They transition you from the Word of God. You're standing on the Word of God, and the Word of God is solid. But after listening to a fable, after believing in a fable, after receiving the fable as truth, now you have transitioned from the truth to Gnosticism. You have transitioned from the truth to a false knowledge. That's what's happened. It goes on to say, does this definition, 2 Peter 1:16, is called cunningly devised fables or sophisticated fables devised by men's wisdom, not what the Holy Ghost teacheth. These fables are incipient Gnostic legends about the genealogies, origin, and propagation of what? Angels, which is what Paul is referring to in Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 through 23. Already in the early church, way back when Paul was ministering, way back 2,000 years ago, these Gnostic legends were already making their way into the early church. And what did these Gnostic legends teach? They taught you about the genealogy, where did angels come from, how did demons get pregnant, how did demons give birth to little demons, the origin of angels, and the propagation. See, all that, everything that Jensen Franklin is mentioning in that sermon, that's what Paul was dealing with in the first century when he wrote to the Colossians church, as referenced in Colossians 2, 18 through 23. And as Solomon said, and as we tend to repeat again and again, there is nothing new under the sun. The devil is using the same old tricks, but he's using new people. He's using new people because the people who are peddling this baloney in Paul's day are dead. So he's got new clowns, he's got new bozos, he's got new schmucks in the person of Jensen Franklin who are promoting this old lie. That's what he's doing. Okay, so now, let's wrap up the show today talking about two of these Gnostic legends. I want to talk to you about Isaac. Who is Isaac? Isaac is the son of Abraham and Sarah. Isaac is the son of Abraham and Sarah in their old age. Remember when they were past age, the Lord visited them. Abraham was in his tent, Sarah was in his tent, and the Lord visited this couple and told them that by this time next year they would have a son in his name. And Abraham said, how could it be? I'm so old. And Sarah said, how can it be? I'm so old. And God said to them both, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And Sarah got pregnant from Abraham even after their old age, and they had a child. They named him Isaac, which means he made me laugh, or he caused me to laugh, because he brought them much joy. Well, there's a Gnostic legend. There's a Talmudic legend. There's a Jewish legend, a Jewish fable about this Isaac. And here it is. Now, who is Isaac? Again, he's the second major Hebrew patriarch. When God identified himself to Moses at the burning bush, he said, I am the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. So there you have three major Hebrew patriarchs. It's Abraham 1, Isaac 2, Jacob 3. So this Isaac that I'm referring to happens to be the second major Hebrew patriarch. All right, let me read. When Isaac was born, his parents, Abraham and Sarah, were both old, very old. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was well past childbearing age. So amazing was this birth which God promised them. The Jewish legend held, the Jewish, notice, not the Bible, not scripture, but what? Gnostic legends. Jewish legend held that Isaac was more than amazing. He was an angel from heaven. Think about that. He existed, before he existed as little Isaac in his mother's womb, he was first an angel. And then when God decided for Isaac to become incarnate or for Isaac to be conceived, he sent them down to be in Sarah's womb. Isn't that crazy? And it doesn't even line up with the Bible, because that's not the way the Bible says. And Abraham knew his wife Sarah, and she conceived. So that must mean that first Isaac the angel must have got. And I don't listen. I'm not trying to be lewd here. I'm not trying to be fresh. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to my sisters. But that must mean that Isaac the angel must have gotten really small and must have inserted himself into Abraham's testicles, so that when Abraham knew his wife Eve, he can take what was in his testicles and put it inside his wife's womb. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't make any sense, because there's an angelology branch and there's an anthropology branch, and you can't mix the two. When you mix the two, now you're involved in Gnosticism. Now you're involved in Jewish fables. But there's, you see, this is why we have to do this teaching, because this is exactly what Jensen Franklin is teaching to his people, and they don't even realize it. Okay, so the Jewish legend held that Isaac was more than amazing. He was an angel from heaven. Isaac was the angel of light that existing before the world began. Wow. What a legend. The thing, you know, someone forgot to tell Isaac that he was an angel. Did you notice that when you read the life and story? And here's the interesting thing. You know, among the three patriarchs, when you look at the life of Abraham, the life of Isaac, and the life of Jacob, you know that the least impressing patriarch of the three is Isaac. You know that the one with his so little written of, because there's a lot written about it. There's a lot of chapters devoted to Abraham in Genesis. There's a lot of chapters devoted to Jacob in Genesis, but very few chapters are devoted to Isaac. He's so amazing. Notice, he's really an angel, but he doesn't get any press. He doesn't get any ink. He doesn't. But Abraham, who was not an angel, and Jacob, who was not an angel, does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. If Isaac was the angel among the three, he should have been spectacular. But he was very underwhelming. Among the three major patriarchs, he's the most underwhelming one. All right. So now I want to focus on a female demon. Okay? Now, again, there's no such thing as female angels, and there's no such thing as female demons. There is none. God made all the angels male. He gave them all male names. They are called the sons of, angels are called the sons of God. They are never called, no, there are no angels called the daughters of God. They're all called the sons of God. That's what angels are called, the sons of God. All angels are male. All angels have male names. Okay, so now, you have to go to Jewish fables, you have to go to Jewish folklore, you have to go to Jewish myths that are mixed with Gnosticism to find female angels or female demons. Okay? And the only reason why I'm bringing this up is because, again, Jensen Franklin has based his sermon, Jezebel's Children, on the fact that there's a woman who transitioned and became a female demon, and she's giving birth, because men don't give, you heard Jensen Franklin say, and she's giving birth to baby demons. Men don't give birth to baby demons. Females do. Females give birth to babies. So you have to have a female demon to be giving birth to, and that's what Jensen Franklin said. You heard him. I didn't put the words in his mouth. The words came out of his mouth. So I want to show you that you have to go to Jewish myths. You have to go to Jewish fables. You have to go to you have to go to Jewish Gnosticism to be able to come up. Now, don't go to the Jewish Bible. Don't go to the. You're not going to find it in the Hebrew Bible. You're not going to find female demons or female angels in the Hebrew Bible. You're not going to find female angels or female demons in the Hebrew Scriptures. You're not. You have to go to Jewish mysticism, Jewish Gnosticism, Jewish fables to find female demons. And what is a fable? Fables are designed to deceive and mislead. So since Jensen Franklin is talking about a female demoness, I want to talk to you about Lilith. And listen, these are all the sources, all right? Let's read. We're on page number 43, Lilith. God then formed Lilith, the first woman, just as he had formed Adam. Did you ever read that in Genesis chapter 2, Genesis 1, did you ever read that the woman that God formed in the Bible is called Eve, not Lilith? But again, this is Jewish myth. God then formed Lilith, the first woman, just as he had formed Adam, except that he used filth and sediment instead of pure dust. So in other words, the reason why Lilith became so wicked and the reason why Lilith was so nasty and so perverted and so promiscuous and such a floozy is because, unlike Adam, when God made Adam, God used pure dust. But the reason why Lilith was a slut demon was because God used what? Sediment and filth. All right. From Adam's union with this demoness and with another name, Nama, Tubal Cain's sister, sprang Asmodeus and innumerable demons that still plague mankind. Now, where did I get that quote from? If you look on the bottom, this is Robert Graves and Raphael Patel's Hebrew Myths from the Book of Genesis. Hebrew myths. Okay, let's go now to the next quote that I have for you. Who is Lilith? She is a primordial female demon. And where did I get that? I got that from the Concise Dictionary of Judaism. It's a concise definition because it's a concise dictionary, okay? And I'm just trying to give you various. I'm trying to give you information of Lilith from different sources. Big books, little books, big sets, little sets, okay? All right, here's the story of Lilith. Who is Lilith? Lilith is queen of the demons. Queen of the demons is Lilith. She's long-haired and winged. She is supposed to have been the first wife of Adam. She had been one of the wives of Shamael. Shamael, in Jewish mythology, in Jewish Gnosticism, in Jewish legend, in Jewish folklore, in Jewish fable, Shamael is another name for Satan. Okay? So she had been one of the wives of Shamael, but of a wild, heroic, and passionate nature, she left her spouse and joined Adam. From her union with Adam, issued the demons of Shadim, the underworld, who rove about the world as wicked spirits. They persecute and plague men and bring upon them illness, disease, and other suffering. Now, where did I get that quote? Well, that came to us from Ancient Israel Myths and Legends by Angelo S. Rappaport. All right, let's move along. Let's go to the next quote, which is quote number 95. It says here, Lilith, a female demon who, according to legend, not according to the Bible, a female demon who, according to, but wait a minute, wasn't she made from the earth? Even though the earth, you know, wasn't good earth, it was defiled earth, and okay, so she's made from the earth, but she's a demon. A female demon who, according to legend, endangers women in childbirth and kills newborn children. Where did I get that quote from? I got that from the Dictionary of Judaism in the Biblical Period, Volume 2. See, this is the stuff that was being taught in Paul's day, in James's day, in Peter's day. All this stuff, all of this bizarre demonology that Jensen Franklin is spouting a new version of, all of that was already being taught in the first century. Okay, let's go to the next definition, Lilith. Now notice, I have this in bold. Lilith, not in the Bible, not in the Bible, but a prominent character in Jewish folklore. Lilith was a demon and the wife of Adam before God created Eve. Through her union with Adam, she gave birth to all the demons on the earth. Doesn't that sound familiar? Isn't that what Jensen Franklin's teaching? Isn't he teaching that there's a female demon called, well, there can't be female demons because God never made none of the angels female. All angels are male. There are no female demons. There are none. There's only male demons. Male demons are fallen angels because God made all the angels to be the sons of God. There are no, so notice, Not only is Jensen Franklin pushing the idea that there's female demons, and you have to ask him, where did you get that in the Bible when all the angels are male? And if the angels fell, if one-third of the angels fell and followed Satan, how could they go from male to female? How did that happen, Jensen? He has no answers unless he goes to Jewish folklore. So the Bible does not give us female demons. But Jensen shows up with one, and then the Bible doesn't tell us that female demons have babies, but Jensen Franklin tells us that they do. Well, where did he get this from? From Jewish Gnosticism that has trickled down 2,000 years, and he's latched onto it and is now preaching it unbeknown to his dopey self. So, Lilith, not in the Bible, but a prominent character in Jewish folklore. Lilith was a demon and the wife of Adam before God created Eve. Through her union with Adam, she gave birth to all the demons on earth. She deserted Adam and haunted the night and all the wild places and ruins. She was a sort of vampire character, considered especially threatening to children. The Hebrew word Lilith is used in the Old Testament to refer to some wild night creature, sometimes translated screech owl or even night hag, Isaiah 34:14. And of course, in Isaiah 34:14, it's not referring to Lilith the demoness. It's referring to this screech owl. And that's why in pictures, I put it there, in pictures, I give you a vampiric serpent. And she's always shown to be with a vampiric serpent, a serpent who draws blood, or an owl. You see that? Okay, that's those are her two mascots, if you will, based on Jewish legend. Okay? All right. So now, where did I get that quote from? Well, I got it from Stephen Lang's book, 1001 Things You Always Wanted to Know About Angels, Demons, and the Afterlife. Okay, now, here's the last quote on Lilith. And again, I'm trying to give you different sources. I could give you 100 sources. I have all those books on my, but that would, listen, this series would never end if we just went source after source. I'm just trying to give you a few. Just trying to give you a few. All right, now here's the last quote, Lilith, a female demon assigned a central position in Jewish demonology. Midrashic literature expands the legend. Notice, those who put together their midrashes, their commentary. Midrash is a commentary, right? They read a Bible verse, and then they elaborate. They write down what that Bible verse means. So the Jewish teachers who were putting together their commentary or their midrashes, when they in midrash literature, this concept of Lilith, which is not based on the Bible, is just based on crazy ideas. They began to expand the legend that Adam, having parted from his wife after it had been ordained that they should die, begat demons from spirits that had attached themselves to him. Who are these two spirits? Well, we know Lilith is one, and Naamah, the sister of Tubal-Cain, according to Jewish law, is the other. Okay. It is said that he was encountered by a Lilith named Pinai, who, taken by his beauty, she laid with him and bore him male and female demons. And where did I get that from, my dear brothers and sisters? I got this from the Encyclopedia Judaica, Volume 11, which is published in Jerusalem. It's a very prominent, everybody who reads up on Jewish culture and Jewish religion and anything pertaining to the Jewish people and the Hebrew people, any scholar worth his weight in gold would have a complete set of the Encyclopedia Judaica. So here's the conclusion. Scripture is clear. No human being transitions into angelhood after death. None. Now, Enoch, remember we looked at the Jewish legends concerning Enoch? Not Enoch, not Elijah, not Isaac, not Lilith, not Jezebel, not no one. No human being transitions into angelhood after death. Upon death, each man, each woman, enters the intermediate state, a paradise called heaven for the righteous and a place of torment for the wicked called Hades. There, the righteous and the wicked remain until their respective days of resurrection. So, my dear brothers and sisters, Jezebel is not out there. She's not allowed to float. She's not out there wreaking havoc at the Church of Thyatira. And today, she's at Jensen Franklin's church trying to get into his members' mind. Oh, that's baloney. Jezebel, when she died, her soul and spirit were confined to that prison for the wicked called Hades. There she is suffering as we speak. Jesus is the jailer and warden. He has the keys of hell and of death. In the Greek, it reads of Hades and of death. Jesus has the keys, and the only time Jezebel is getting out is when God decides to resurrect all the wicked at one time. He's going to do it all at one time. He's going to resurrect all the wicked that have ever lived. He's going to reunite their bodies with their souls and their spirits, and they will stand before him at the great white throne judgment. And then once they receive their sentence, they shall be cast into the lake of fire, complete and whole, completely tripart again. Because remember, man is tripart. So this notion that Jensen Franklin teaches that Jezebel is out there and that she's wreaking havoc and having babies and having sex and having a good time and going to the disco and, you know, just being a floozy, that's nonsense. As the picture on the bottom of on page 44 shows, she is in torment with those other souls there. That's Hades, my dear brothers and sisters. So listen, that does it for today's show. We're done with pillar number 7. I think there's nothing else to say. I think we need to move on to pillar number 3 because it's just time to move on. I mean, if you're not convinced by what Scripture says by now, you're never going to be convinced. If you willfully hold to Jensen Franklin's position, then you are what the Bible calls willfully ignorant. You're willing yourself to be dumb. You're willing yourself to be stupid. And there's nothing I could do or anybody can do to convince you otherwise because you're willing. It's your willful choice to be a dum-dum. It's your willful choice to stand up and give Jensen Franklin a standing ovation every time stupidity comes out of his mouth. You're just willful. So I'll be back on Tuesday. We've done three shows in a row. I want to give you enough time to go back, read all the outlines, listen to these teachings again, go check out these books. I want you to make sure that everything that I wrote down there is accurate so that you can see I didn't make anything up. And that's why I give you my sources. That's why I give you the books. I give you the publication date. I give you the page number. I give you the volume. What if it's a big set like the Encyclopedia Judaica, I tell you what volume you can find this in, what page number, what year of publication, because this set's been published numerous times. And I give you all that so that you can be a good Berean. And so that you can see that every time I come on the air, I am a credible teacher founded upon the Bible and founded upon sound scholarship. Now, you may disagree, and that's okay. But I'm going to tell you, you better come up with your sources, and you better come up with your information, and because you just can't say, well, I don't believe that. I trust Pastor Franklin. Well, guess what? You're trusting a nitwit. You're trusting a dimwit. In fact, I'll go beyond that. You're not even trusting a halfwit. You're putting your trust in a nowit, a moron, an ignoramus. And we're just getting started. This is just pillar number two. Wait until we go into pillar number three. Wait until we dismantle pillar number four. And wait until we dismantle pillar. It only gets better. It only gets better. So I'll see everybody back on Tuesday. I want to give you enough time to check out all of the pertinent information. And it's up to you to do the research. It's up to you to vet me as I have vetted Jensen Franklin. God bless you, saints. ¶¶